He was always late for everything.
But if he were here, then she must speak to him. Breathlessly, she stepped from the church porch, nerving herself to face whatever wraith was coming towards her from the darkness of the graveyard on the whispering breath from the incoming sea. She could smell the brine on the air. She could sense his advance, perhaps soaked in seawater, perhaps trailing seaweed. And then, a young man rounded the corner of the porch, recoiled at the sight of her white face, and cried out, "God save me! Are you of this earth or the other world? Speak!" For a moment, she was so shocked that she said nothing. She stood very still and stared at him as if she would see through him. Her eyes narrowed, trying to see beyond her earthly vision. Perhaps he was one of the undead, undrowned, unhanged, walking in this night, which was their night, under the midsummer moon, which was their moon. He was as handsome as a fairy prince from a story, with long dark hair tied back at the nape of his neck, and dark eyes set in a pale face. Behind her back, she clenched her thumbs between her fingers in the sign of the cross, her only defense against being seduced or carried away, and her heart broken by this young lord from the other kingdom, from the other world.
"Speak!"
He was breathless.
"Who are you? What are you? A vision?"
"No, no," she contradicted him. "I'm a woman, a mortal woman, the ferryman's sister, the widow of Zachary, the missing fisherman." Long after, she would remember that the first thing she told him was that she was a mortal woman, a married woman, a widow, anchored in this world by the power of a man.
"Who?
What?" he demanded. He was a stranger. These names meant nothing to him, though anyone from the Tidelands would have known them at once. "Who are you?" She could tell he was gentry by his beautifully cut dark jacket, by the lace at his throat. "What are you doing here, sir?" She looked behind him for his servants, for his guard. The empty graveyard stretched out in the eerie half-darkness to the low wall of napped flints shining darkly in the moonlight, as if they'd been washed over and left wet. The thickly crowned trees leaned over, casting a darker shade on the dark ground. There was nothing to see but the light of the moon, throwing the shadows of the headstones onto the ragged, scythed grass, and nothing to hear but the soft sigh of incoming tide under a full moon.
"I can't be seen," he muttered.
"Nobody here to see you." Her abrupt dismissal of his fear made him look again at her oval face, her dark grey eyes, a woman as beautiful as a Madonna in an icon, but drab here in the unearthly half-light, her tattered kerchief hiding her hair, shapeless in her ragged clothes.
"What are you doing here at this time of night?" he asked suspiciously.
"I came to pray." She would not tell this stranger that it was well known that a widow would meet her dead husband if she waited for him in the churchyard on Midsummer Eve.
"Pray," he repeated.
"God bless you for the thought. Let's go in then. I'll pray with you." He turned the heavy ring handle on the door and caught the bar as it lifted on the other side, so that it made no sound. He led the way into the silent church, quiet as a thief. She hesitated, but he waited for her, holding the door open without another word, and she had to follow him. When he closed the door behind them, there was only the dim light from the old stained glass windows, gold and bronze on the stone-flagged floor. The sound of the rising sea was shut out.
"Leave the door open," she said nervously. "It's so dark in here."
He opened it a crack, and a ribbon of pale moonlight stretched along the aisle to their feet.
"What did you come here for?" she asked. "Are you a gentleman from London?"
It was the only explanation for his clean collar and his good leather boots, the little pack that he carried, and the warm intelligence in his face.
"I can't say."
She thought he must be one of the agents travelling the country, seeking recruits for either Parliament or King. Except that nobody ever came to Seal Sea Island, and he was alone without companions or even horses, as if he had been dropped from the sky like a stormbringer, swung low from the clouds.